We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Are you ready for the word? All right, I want you to repeat this after me, because this is the title of my message. Everybody say, hey!
Hey.
Come on, say, hey!
Hey!
Like, yell, like you're trying to get someone's attention.
Hey!
That's my harvest. You didn't do too bad, but I think you could do a lot better. Hey! That's my harvest. Now, if you can't say that with conviction, you'll never see a harvest. All right? You ready for it? One more time.
Hey!
That's my harvest. And I want to talk to you this morning. By the way, thank you, singers, musicians. Sure appreciate you guys. You are phenomenal. I want to talk to you about what I would consider to be, generally speaking, in the church. And I'm not just saying Wave Church. I think we probably maybe do a little better than most. But I still feel like we need to get at this, what I call an imbalanced truth. And I think we, the church, have been very good at teaching people generosity and giving. But I actually feel like we actually need to make sure we're intentional to teach people about reaping as much as we are about sowing. And I actually feel like it's a bit of an imbalanced truth that I feel like we need to put a little bit more attention, because I think we've done so good a job at teaching people what it is to be generous, how to sow, but we've also got to teach people how to reap. Amen. I remember years and years ago, I said to Sharon, I'm going to believe God that I'm going to be able to get a Bentley Breitling watch. Now, the thought there was I was going to buy one, and someone was going to give me one, but I was going to buy one. And I love watches. I'm a watch guy. And so I like different watches. And I went, that's the watch I want to get. It's a beautiful watch. If you're a watch person, you'll know the Bentley Breitling Green Face is the one that I wanted. Yeah, everybody's got different tastes. That was mine. And it's not an inexpensive watch, but I believe God I'm going to buy it. And so Sharon says, knowing you, it'll happen. We'll, you know, it'll turn up somewhere. And long story cut short, I'm in a service 2 weeks later, and there's probably, I don't know how old he is, probably 80, 85, maybe in his late 80. This old faith preacher was sitting next to me at a conference in North Carolina. And he leans over to me and he says to me, watch this, Steve, I believe God told me to give you something. And I looked at him. Now, relatively speaking, if he's 85, I'm a lot younger than him. All right, I'm not as young as I used to be, but I still identify as being young because age is an attitude. And so I said, man, I'm good. You don't need to give me anything. Thank you so much. And he proceeds to take off his watch. And I look at him and I go, oh, look, isn't that sweet? Look, he wants to give me his watch. And I'm going, look, I'm good, man. I didn't forget about what I was praying about, but I didn't connect the dots. And so he goes, what's wrong with you? Why won't you receive what God told me to give to you? And then he starts to shake a little. And he goes, it's a gold Rolex with a green face. And I looked at it and I instantly knew that is a really expensive watch. And I thought, I can't, as a younger preacher, take this old preacher's watch. I just went, no. And then he starts to cry. He says, God told me to give it to you. I learned something that day. I said, thank you so much. And I finally had to humbly receive the watch. I learned something that day that it doesn't just take faith to believe for something, but it also takes faith to receive it. Because that's not what I had in mind. What I had in mind was I was going to go buy this watch myself. Never did I have in mind that kind of a watch. But I love how God works. God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think. And I feel like one of the things that we, the church, have to get good at is we have to get good with good. When God begins to bring blessing, as we sow, you shall also reap. Listen to the Bible verse. Give and it will be given to you. Did you hear it? Give and it will be given to you. That's the Bible. So we don't give to get, but we get to give. And we don't have a give to get mentality, but we get to give. But the Bible does say, give and it will be given to you. But if you're not willing to receive the given to you, if you are giving, but you don't have a revelation or an understanding that as a result of your giving, that there is a commensurate response that is triggered by heaven called the law of reciprocity, that if you give, God will see to it, it will be given to you. Listen to it. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running out all over. So look at the imbalance of this. Give, one word, but when you give, then the Bible says, watch, it will be given to you, and it won't just be given to you, it'll be good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running out all over. So God puts a whole lot more emphasis on the receiving based on your obedience to the one word, give. Amen? And I just feel like, hey, that's my harvest is a truth that we need to make sure we don't lose sight of in the church. Come on, say it with me one more time. Hey, that's my harvest. Well, how will you know what your harvest looks like? So let's start with the wisest man in all the world. I love this. I've read this verse. You know it. If you've heard me preach, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 3. If the clouds are full or if they're full of water, they will pour rain on the earth. Wisest man in all the world said, if there's water in the clouds, it's going to rain. Wisest man in all the world. How many want to listen to the wisest man in all the world? And he's going, hey, if there's rain clouds, it's going to rain. Wisest man in all the world. Then he says, wherever a tree falls from the north or to the south, wherever it falls, watch this, there it will lie. Wisest man in all the world is teaching you and I this principle of inevitable. In other words, if the clouds are full of water, inevitable, it's going to rain. Wherever a tree falls, inevitable. Wherever it falls, there it is. It ain't moving. Inevitable. And you read that and you kind of think to yourself, well, why would the wisest man in the world say that? Because he goes on and shows you this ongoing sense of inevitables. As inevitable as it is that the clouds are full of water, it's going to rain. Wherever a tree falls, there it will lie. Look at the next verse. It says, watch this. He who watches the wind will fail to sow, fail to give. And he who observes the clouds will fail to reap. If you don't sow, you can't reap. Okay, that was your chance to say amen. This is Wave Church. You're allowed to talk back. I preach a lot better if you'll interact. Come on, somebody say amen. Okay, so watch this. It says, for you do not know the path of the wind or how the bones are formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Here's the thought. Watch this. Inevitable. If you are someone that looks at the wind, looks at the clouds, if you're looking at the wind, you won't sow. Oh, there'll be a better time. Now's not a good time. And you're ruled by what's in your bank account or what's not in your bank account. You're ruled by COVID or the economy, the uncertainty. You're ruled by, you know, the NASDAQ, the Nikkei Dow. You're worried about what's going on with the FTSE 100. You're more worried about, you know, what's going on with the economics, the uncertainty in your job. And I want to tell you, the Bible says, as inevitable as it is, if a cloud's full of water, it's going to rain. He who looks at the wind will not sow. And if you don't sow, you'll never reap. Amen. Wisest man in all the world is trying to teach us, let's not be ruled by what's happening outside. Let's make sure we're people who are living by faith. Amen. Acts chapter 10, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion who was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing, and he gave generously to those who were in need, and he prayed to God regularly. Look what the Bible says. He what? Gave generously. He didn't just give, he was generous to those who were in need. One day, 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. And the angel answered, watch, your prayers and your gifts to the poor have come up to God as a memorial offering. Now send men to Joppa and bring back Simon, whose name is Peter, and he will tell you what you must do. Look what happened. His giving, his sowing, got God's attention. I wonder today whether your generosity get God's attention. As a result of his prayers and his giving, look at this, he sowed, now he's going to reap. What was he reaping? This was the first person outside of the Jewish people that received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, it is a worldwide phenomenon that happens to this day. And what triggered it was sowing. Amen. In other words, Cornelius, God saying, Cornelius, it's harvest time. All right, I'm going to keep preaching and see if you'll just be a bit more responsive. Luke chapter 7, verse 7. When Jesus had finished saying to us all the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion servant who his master highly valued was sick and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. So we got this guy who's the centurion, which means 100 men working under him. And it says, he went to Jewish elders and said, listen, would you please speak on my behalf to Jesus? I want my servant to be healed. When they came to Jesus, verse 4, they pleaded earnestly with him, saying, this man, this centurion soldier, the occupying force of Israel, deserves you, Jesus, to do this. Why? Because he loves our nation and he builds our synagogues. Look at verse 6. So he went with them. Notice now, this man was a giver. He didn't have to give. He chose to give. He didn't need to do anything for the Jewish people. He was a Roman soldier. He was the occupying force. He could have just said, shut up, do what I tell you. But he loved Israel and he built the church. And when he had a servant that he valued was about to die, he says, listen, I'm a sower, I'm a giver, and I need your help now. Would you put a good word in for Jesus? And when they spoke to Jesus, look at this, Jesus didn't say, nobody can buy the favor of God. Jesus heard how he loved the people of God, how he built the church. Jesus, without a hesitation, went, yep, I'll go. And that man, Jesus performed the miracle for that man's servant that very hour. Do you know, I believe that centurion was going, hey, I've got a harvest coming. He understood something that even Jesus' disciples didn't understand. The Bible tells me as I go on read this that Jesus marveled at this man's faith. This man's faith, he understood authority. He understood leadership. He understands sowing. He understood reaping. Come on. He had a revelation. It's harvest time. Look at this. It says in Genesis that God created the earth. He invented seeds. And he commanded everything to reproduce after its own kind. And he created the earth such that a mature thing would be inside the seed in an embryonic form. So watch this now. 2 Corinthians 9. Look at this verse. We're just laying a foundation for this. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase the store of your seed, watch this, and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. Now he, God, supplies seed to sow and bread for food. What you've got to do is make sure you don't eat your seed. You eat the bread for food, but you don't eat your seed, because if you eat your seed, you just ate your harvest. You sow seed, but God supplies it. So when God supplies, you look at what God's given you and you ask yourself, is this bread for food or is it seed to sow? You don't eat your seed, you eat the bread. Amen. Sometimes when I talk to people who have maybe in Hampton Roads in this area because of government work and military, sometimes people are here for 3 years or 6 years and they say, well, why would I sow into this house when I won't be here in the future because I'll only be here for 3 years? And I go, hey, all you got to do is get your seed in the ground and your harvest will find you. That's what you got to do. And it's never about anyway, we're giving just to get the benefit of it. We're giving because we love God. But we're also understanding the principle, we must sow. God provides seed to sow. And you got to sow that seed. And he provides bread for food. And if you do it, you sow it, he will supply and increase your harvest of seed. I love that. All right, are you ready for this now? Hey! No. Hey! I'm just trying to make sure we're all getting this. Hey! That's my harvest. You got to know what your harvest is, and it's connected to your seed. So here's the first thing you got to do. Number one, you got to name your seed. You got to give, for instance, if you sow an avocado, you know, you sow an avocado seed, you know it's going to give you an avocado. If you sow an apple seed, you know it. You don't just go and grab a bag of mixed seeds and throw it on the ground. You actually are looking for the seed that has a name attached to it, and that seed will reproduce after its own kind. You'd be shocked if you put a pear seed in the ground and you got an apple. Obviously, it was an apple seed. Does that make sense? Whatever seed you sow is your harvest. So the first thing you got to do is you got to name your seed. Let me show you how God works this. God wants Abraham to understand, because Abraham tithed to Melchizedek in the Old Testament before the law. Actually, listen to this. It was Christ that he tithed to. And as a result of that act of generosity, God's going to teach Abraham something that frankly we need to learn. And he says, I want to promise you that not only am I going to give you a son, but I'm going to cause you to be the father of many nations. Your offspring will be so numerous. Look what it says here. Look what God says. Genesis, it will be as numerous, if we have it, praise the Lord. They were doing great in the first service. I'll just read it to you. Have we got it? Okay. Are you awake back there? We love you. Okay, Genesis 15, he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to them, watch, so shall your offspring be. Do you know what God did? God had to help Abraham visualize what the harvest was going to look like. So he had to, so when Abraham would go outside of a nighttime, maybe in the nighttime you kind of get a little bit down, gets a little dark. So God had to light him up. So every time Abraham went outside, he looked out at all the stars. He goes, now, if you can count them, that's how many children are going to come out of you. Do you know what Abraham was able to do? Every time he went outside, he looked and went, hey, that's my harvest. Every single time he was able to see them. And God says, go ahead and try and count them. And now look what God says in the next verse. I love this one. Look at this. Next verse. Praise the Lord. Next verse. Next verse. All right, I'll read it. Praise the Lord. All right. Are they doing drugs back there? What's going on? Are we good? Okay, look at this. How many think those guys are amazing, by the way? I'm only just joking with them. Genesis 22. It is a little hard, though, when you're preaching and you're trying to keep moving. Okay, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. Watch this. And the sand on the seashore. So look at the visualization. Watch this. Here's the visualization. Any second now, we're going to look at the visualization. See the stars? See the sand? And every time Abraham went outside into the desert and his sandals got out there and the sand started getting into his toes, he was touching his harvest. He was looking at his harvest. Every time he looked at sand, he went, hey, that's my harvest. And I feel like you and I have, the Bible says we are of the seed, we're of the faith, and we are of the promise of Abraham. And if we got that kind of tangible revelation, visualization, that if we give, it will be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running out all over. How will you know what your harvest is unless you name it in Jesus' name? Matter of fact, let me show you one more example. I think this one's a good one. There's a guy called Jacob, and Jacob is a bit of a schemer. He's a manipulator. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. But he's wrestling with God, and he's trying to figure out how to really live the life that God wants him to live. He ripped off his brother. He lied with his mother to his father. And let me tell you, this was just a bad guy. But God will always deal with someone like that by bringing somebody more deceitful in their lives. So enter Laban. When you see somebody who's a con artist, don't think they're getting away with it. I promise you they're not. All you got to do is go, well, what Laban is going to come into their life? Amen. Don't look at it and think, well, they're getting away with it. No, I promise you, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Okay, now watch what happens. He does this deal with Laban, and Laban is more deceitful even than Jacob. And Laban says, here's what we'll do, Jacob. I'll take care of you. I'll provide you because you worked for me for this long. Every spotted and speckled sheep or goat is yours. That'll be my payment to you, and you can leave with my two daughters, now your two wives, and you can go back to where you came from. So Laban decides he's going to remove all the spotted and speckled goat and sheep out of it. So the only thing left are the one colored sheep and goat. Well, everything reproduces after its own kind. So if there's no spotted and speckled sheep, there will be no offspring. So Jacob decides, I'm going to live by faith. So the Bible tells me that Jacob actually began to pull the bark off the trees and cause the stripped bark to make it look like when the sheep came down to mate, when they came down to the watering trough, when they looked at other sheep, they saw the other sheep through the trees. And as a result of seeing the other sheep through the trees, they saw spotted and speckled sheep. Now, here's the principle. Watch this. Hey, because they saw the other sheep through the filter of the stripped bark, look at the visualization. There they are one color, but when they reproduce, see the stripped bark? When they saw the other sheep through that, they reproduced with spotted and speckled sheep. So good was the offspring of these sheep. There was no such thing as genetic testing in those days, but these were the strongest and the healthiest sheep of all. Jacob learned something. When I look at these sheep, I got to look at them how God wants me to see them. And I want you to look at your harvest, and I want you to know what your harvest looks like, and every seed reproduces after its own kind. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand. I think that's good preaching. Here's the second thought I want to give you. If you don't know what you're sowing, how can you name your harvest? If you don't know what's an apple seed, how could you name it? You got to know what you're sowing, because seed reproduces after its own kind. If you build God's house, God will build your house. Come on, somebody. You got to know what you're sowing. How will you actually know what your harvest if you don't know what you're sowing? So here's the thought. You got to name it. How can you put a name on something if you don't know what you're sowing? The reason why some people don't receive isn't a lack of faith, but they don't name their seed. Okay, when you have a baby, what's the first thing you do? You give it a name. And in our family, you give them really strange names. Thunder. But at least he's got a name. And boy, does he live up to his name. Let me tell you. I said to Sam and Laura, you can call him that, but my gosh, I hope you've really thought this through. And he is thunder. Let me tell you something. He brings the thunder. Praise the Lord. Okay, the first thing you use, you put a name on it. Why? Because listen to this, you own it. When you name it, it becomes yours because it has your name. When you have a sense of ownership of something, it's not a feeling of greed. It's yours. Amen. I remember one time a businessman said, Steve, you're just in the ministry of preaching for the money. And I looked at him and said, well, then why aren't you in it? If that were true, which it isn't, by the way. Some people appear to be very wealthy, but the truth is they're so in debt, they don't have a dollar to give. Blessed is not what you have. Blessed is what you have left after you've paid your bills. And I want to encourage you to be people who are sowers, and you name your seed in the name of Jesus. Look what the Bible says. Watch this. It says in Galatians, to the one who is taught the word must share all good things with him who teaches him. So let me just show you what that verse looks like. How many of you today are being taught the word? Every week at Wave Church, whether you're online, there's only three people that are putting their hand up. Let me just try that again, okay? It's not a rhetorical question. How many are being taught the word? I mean, just see, okay, if you don't know, that's what's happening right now. So now you know, you're being taught the word. To the one who is taught the word, the Bible says you must share all good things with your instructor. In other words, the word that's being sown to you, you got to sow back to the word that's being sown to you. Does that make sense? That's what the Bible says. I believe that's a principle of how God works. But look what it goes on and says. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, this also shall he reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Watch. Let us not grow weary or lose heart in doing good. For in due time we will what? Reap if we don't grow weary. For the one who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not grow weary in sowing. For in due time we will reap. Hey, that's my harvest. And the key to it is don't grow weary in your sowing. But also understand your harvest is coming. Come on, somebody say amen. So the key word here is whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap, good and bad. For years, I've been a giver, and I know that whatever I sow, I will reap. Number three, write this down. We must be seed-conscious sowers. Look at this now. Be not deceived. That's how God starts it. Listen, I believe we walk past the fields of harvests that belong to the saints, but if you don't name your seed, listen to this, how will you know it's your harvest? Did you hear it? So we must be seed-conscious sowers. Let me explain to you how this works. Sharon and I, when we moved to Virginia Beach from Sydney, I said, I believe God's going to give us a place on the water on the Chesapeake Bay. 22 years ago, how many were here back in the days when this church was called Church of the Redeemer? Let me see your hand. There was quite a few in the 9 o'clock and there's still quite a few here in the 11. I love that. And let me just say this, Mike and Susie, I don't know if you remember, but I said, I'm believing one day God's going to bless us with the ability to live on the bay, on the water. I had people laugh at me and say, you've got no idea how expensive it would be to do that. And I said, well, I'm a sower. And I'm also a sower that sows and I put a name on my harvest. I also know that that seed will reproduce. And so every year as we would give to the provision for the house offering, I used to say, thank you, Lord, for a property on the Chesapeake Bay. And we believe one day we will. And I actually felt like it would take us 5 years to even begin to consider being able to consider that as an option. And we were here 22 years ago, and 4 years into it, Sharon says to me, hey, Steve, let's go looking at land over at houses on the water. And I said, honey, no, it's only been 4 years, and I feel like we should wait 5 years. She goes, well, I want to go now and start looking. I said, I don't want to go. I need to go to the restroom. Let's just go back to a house. And how many know I didn't go to the restroom? And we went house hunting. Turn up to the first house, the realtor met us there. Blow me down if the realtor isn't from the church. They were so excited. Oh, Pastor, I get to sell you a house. And I'm thinking, I don't even want to buy a house yet. And Sharon's going, oh, this is just fantastic, but it's a little too expensive. So the realtor said, well, there's another house down the road. It's a little cheaper. And Sharon goes, we'll look at it. And I said, no, thanks. We're not interested. Honey, we can't afford this. Not now. It's not been 5 years. So she, how many know, we're looking at it regardless. You should have seen this house. It was a 1955 home, ranch home. It was the original people who built the house are the people selling it. You know that those houses that had in the tiles, the restrooms, those tiles are this thick and that lime green and yellow tiles. That's how old this thing, these tiles said to Noah, love Moses. It came off the ark, I'm telling you. It was the shower door was this wide. You had to turn sideways to get into the door. It was so old. It was to be honest with you, the only thing going for it was the acre of land. And anybody who knows Sharon knows that Sharon is one of the most sensational women you'll ever meet in your life, but sensational in this regard. She's not hyper-sensational. She's not easily worked up. She's unflappable. She is the most calm demeanor. She's not one of those kind of like easily excited in a good way. Do you know what I'm saying? She's not like, impulsive. So we're standing on this property and this old ranch home that I got to tell you, had nothing going for it in the natural. And Sharon stands on this piece of land. What I saw was the acre of land. I thought, dang, what a shame the house is so crappy, but the land is so good. And Sharon starts to shake. Do you know what happened? She had a, hey, that's my harvest moment. It was like God saying, look up. It was like God saying, look down. It was like in that moment, Sharon's feet came in touch with the harvest. And all of a sudden, I saw Sharon shaking. Sharon, my Sharon, she doesn't do this. Are you hearing me? Unless it's at anger with me, then she might. She's never even done that, to tell you the truth. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you something. Sharon's feet were touching her harvest. And when I saw it, I went, God has this house for us. And by the grace of God, we bought that house. And we're living in the harvest of something that Sharon came in touch with. Come on, church. Hey! That's my harvest. Praise the Lord. And since then, we've been able to remodel and do a few things to it to try and make it a little bit more livable. I remember when Alyssa saw it, she said, and Alyssa's not listening to today, so I'm going to call her out. She was only, how old was she when we bought that house? She was probably 13 years old. She goes, this is the most old, disgusting, embarrassing house. I'm too ashamed to live in it. Boy, has she taken those words back a few times. I actually want to encourage you to be seed conscious sowers. Let me tell you something. When I came here 22 years ago, I set foot on this land and we were renting it from the Assemblies of God. But the moment I stood on it, I said, we'll buy this building. This is ours. And we'll pay off the debt on Seaboard Road and we'll build a $4 million building down there to start with and then we'll start building. Come on, somebody. I began to say, hey, that's my harvest. And that's how we got Norfolk. That's how we got Richmond. I mean, you know, we were trying to buy buildings in Richmond and we missed two of them. And then God spoke to me and said, son, did it ever occur to you I could give you a building? And by the grace of God, just a few short months ago, God gave us a $6 million building. That is Wave Churches. It does have a debt, but not anywhere near to the volume of what the building's worth. And can I tell you something? It's harvest time. And I want to encourage you to be a seed conscious sower. And I'm still naming things. I'm naming that youth center out there. And we're going to build a youth center for our young people in the name of Jesus. We're expanding our children's facility. I believe we're going to have 20 campuses. Hey, that's my harvest. Come on, somebody ought to give God some praise. So when you walk onto it, you know it's yours. Amen. You're a sower, but you're a seed-conscious sower. And all of a sudden, you come in touch with your harvest, and you know it's yours. Number four, don't throw your seed, name your seed. Sowing should be motivated by an act of worship. The Bible says, God so loved the world that He gave. What's that? Sowing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but will have life everlasting. Watch this now. Watch. God sowed his son. God's a sower. And God sowed his son. When they nailed Jesus to the cross and they put that piece of wood and put it in the earth, God sowed a savior. And do you know what God redeemed? The redemption. So you know what God reaped? The redemption of the entire universe. God himself is a sower and he reaped through the best that he had, given his only begotten son. He redeemed the entire world with his son. God himself works by the principle of sowing and of reaping. Come on, somebody ought to give God some praise. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of us should give according to what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I love this. And God, all that is about giving. See that? Look, all that's about giving. How does God want you to give? Not reluctantly, not under compulsion, but actually as you've decided to give. Because God loves a cheerful gift. All that is about giving. Now look at the reaping. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, you'll have an abundance for every good work. Listen, there's been an imbalanced truth in the church, and it's all about the giving. But I've come today to make sure that we get the balance of the Word of God, that it's harvest time, that your giving is connected to a harvest. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You need to know what it is that you're sowing so you know what it is you're going to be reaping. Come on, somebody. Let me show you that everything works in a seed form. Listen to this. Here's the fifth thought. I'll get over to you real quick. Number five. Get to your notes, Steve. Here we go. Where is it? Number five. Seed reproduces after its own kind. Watch this. Sharon and I, in our early years of marriage, we loved each other dearly. We really did and still do. But there'll be some times in our early days of marriage, we're trying to figure out the balance of ministry, loving each other, but coming from such different backgrounds, coming from such different ways of living, that there were times when we'd have arguments and we didn't know how to solve them. And sometimes I'd get so frustrated and so mad because let me tell you, that girl's sweet, but she's strong. And I mean that in a good way. And she just wouldn't come off something if she just, and neither would I. And I remember several times in the early days of our marriage, I would get so angry. Watch this. I just walk out and slam the door. And I realized that a walkout is sowing a seed of divorce. See, a walkout is I'm leaving. And be not deceived. God will not mock you. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And that was sowing a seed of divorce. The moment I realized it, because every seed reproduces after its own kind. I want to say, the moment I realized that, I said, I will never walk out on you again. I will never sow that seed of walking out. We may not still be able to resolve the conversation, but I'll see to it that we are committing to each other and we're committing to collectively finding an answer that will be satisfactory for the two of us. You see, words sow. You sow with your words. Whenever you sow, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, your thoughts are sowing seeds. Whatever those thoughts are, that harvest is coming. If you don't believe me, look at Job. Job said, the thing that I feared the most came unto me. That which I greatly feared came upon me. I've heard people say, well, my father got cancer. I'm just afraid I will. Oh, you will. You keep thinking that, your harvest is coming. Whatever a man sows, come on. It is coming. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I want us to be seed-conscious sowers. I want us to be aware that whatever we sow, whatever seed we sow, it will reproduce after its own kind. I mean, if you're always late for work, you're sowing a lack of punctuality. And that harvest will come. Not tomorrow, not next week, but when it comes to promotion, I guarantee you won't be the one getting it. You're sowing seed. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're listening. I want to tell you, with that, the Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber. Watch this, look. A little folding of the hands, like some of you doing to me right now. You look like you're half asleep. I mean, this is good preaching. I just wouldn't be sitting there. I'd be taking notes. I'd be saying amen. This is going to help you. It's going to help you. I'm trying to help you. Some of you aren't doing a good job helping me help you. Watch this. A little sleep, just a little, snooze button. A little slumber, 5 more minutes. Oh, we'll just put that off to tomorrow. A little folding of the hands. God says, go tell your wife you're sorry. Yeah, I will, God, but later. Come on. A little sleep, a little slumber, just holding back on giving. A little folding of the hands. Watch this. And poverty will come. Sowing and reaping. And that is your harvest. For wherever man sows, that shall he also reap in Jesus' name. Do you receive the word? Come on, give the Lord a hand if you receive the word. Hey! That's my harvest. We are seed conscious. conscious sowers like Abraham. And we understand that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. So we're going to sow to the Spirit. We're going to sow generously. We're going to be great givers. We're going to be great sowers with our words. We're going to sow into our marriage. We're going to sow into our jobs. We're going to sow into the city. Come on. We're going to sow into our kids. That's my harvest. I'm telling you, I've lived this my whole life. And I want to encourage you today. That message speak to you today? I'm talking to Christians right now in every campus. If that message spoke to you, I want to pray for you. Do you know, I really felt like the Holy Spirit just say to me, to encourage the church not to back off on their sowing. Don't let everything that's happening with the uncertainties of life and COVID and the economy and all the rest of it, let's make sure that's the one thing. If you back off, whatever you back off from, you slow down your harvest. Let's be people who are strategic. Let's be seed conscious sowers. Let's name the harvest. Come on, somebody. Put a name to it. Don't back off. We are not of them that draw back. Amen? But we live by faith in Jesus' name. And I'm talking about in your marriage. I'm talking about with your kids. My job when I was raising my kids is to put as much confidence into them as I could. I knew life would knock it out of them. My job is to put it into them. I wanted my kids, whether Alyssa, whether she was a cheerleader, Josh with soccer, Sam with soccer, I wanted to make sure that these kids, at least when they walked on the field, felt like they had an edge. I wanted to make them feel like they were good. I knew life would knock it out of them. My job was to put it into them. Amen? That's my harvest. That's my harvest. Can I pray for you today if God's speaking to you about this principle of sowing and reaping? Maybe you're good with the sowing, but you're not good with the reaping. Come on, get your eyes on the harvest. That's what God had to do with Abraham. Abraham, every time you go outside, look up. Abraham, every time your head drops, you look down and see your harvest. If you look up, you see your harvest. You look down, you're seeing your harvest. And I want to encourage people today. Maybe God needs you to look up. Maybe God needs you to look down, and you need to see your harvest. You need to know what your harvest is. So when your feet touch it, you know, hey, that's mine. Just like when Sharon set foot on that property where we live. Just like when I set foot on this property, I went, this is ours. We will build a building here. Amen? We'll tear down that old ugly one and we'll build a new one. We're sitting in it today. Can I pray for you? If that message spoke to you, all over the building, just lift your hand. If that message spoke to you, lift your hand. Father, you see every hand that's raised. So many people here today. And I pray, Lord, that you help us not back off, not slow down in building and sowing into our families and into our marriage and into your house and into this city and into this community. Father, it's harvest time. And I pray today people would see the seed and the harvest it brings as a result in Jesus' name. Amen. For everybody that's online right now, I want to encourage you to stay with us. Please, I know during this time of the altar call, a lot of people online, so that's why I'm going to speak to you. You actually check out before we encourage people to give their life to Christ. There's only one problem with that. That's like somebody in church walking out during the altar call. Don't walk out during the altar call. You're walking out on a harvest. You're actually sending a wrong message that unchurched people and unsaved people aren't important to you. I got my word. Do you know what that is? Can I say it to you? It's a freeloader. You just want to get what you want out of church, but we need your faith to stay with us right now. So I'm encouraging you. Would you stay with us? Stay online. Pray with us till the very end in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. I want to pray for people today who haven't given their life to Jesus. I want to pray for people today. Remember what I said? For God so loved the world that He... There it is. God so loved the world that He gave. He sowed. Listen to this. God so loves you, He bankrupted heaven, that whosoever would believe in Him, listen to this, would not perish, but would have eternal life. Friend, do you know Jesus? Friend, are you a Christian? Do you have, look at me, a relationship with Jesus for yourself? I know in every campus right now, the pastors are coming to encourage those campuses for people in those services live to give their life to Jesus. But I want to talk to people online. And I want to talk to everybody here on this 4th of July weekend. If you say, Steve, I don't yet know Jesus. If you say, Steve, I'm away from God. but I want to get right with God. Who's believing with me? People are going to give their life to Jesus. Hey, it's harvest time. We're believing in this summer months for 500 people to give their lives to Jesus. Come on. We're not backing down in the summer. We're stepping it up in Jesus' name. I want to pray for you today, everybody online. And I want to pray for everybody here. Look at me, listening to the sound of my voice. If you say, Steve, I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Steve, I'm not right with God. If you say, Steve, I need to come back to God. I want you in a moment to lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. Because I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. But where you're seated, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. If you'll just lift your hand so I know to include you in my prayer that God today would make himself real to you. Are you believing with me, church? Are you believing with me, church? Come on, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. Let's all close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. And friend, if that is you, I am speaking to you. And you say, Steve, include me in that prayer. Steve, I want to get right with God. Steve, I need to come back to God. Would you lift your hand right now without a hesitation? God bless you. God bless you. Come on, keep lifting your hands. Who else today would lift your hand? God bless you. I see that's four, that's five men in a row who've lifted their hand. There's another man right there. There's another man there. There's another man there. Come on, keep lifting your hand. If you say, Steve, thank you. I see two hands there, a man and a woman. First woman, awesome. Anybody else? Yep, there's another woman right there. There's another right there. There's a child right there. Anybody else? Lift your hand. There's another hand right there. There's another hand right there. Church, can we give a Lord a hand for every single person? There's another hand. I see that hand as well. God bless you. Come on, let's all pray this prayer. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, thank God for every single person.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.